Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld, and each week on this program, I talk to people who I feel are really at the cutting edge of consciousness, those individuals that are evolving our culture, our sense of self in new and unknown directions. And tonight I'm talking to someone I wanted to talk to for a long time, a real genius in the field of, I would say, human potential above all else. His name is Dan Winter. He also has the goldenmean.info website. He is a real expert on sacred geometry, science, gravity, time. I mean, Dan, thanks for being here.
Oh, it's a delight. I've heard about you for years. My friend Roger likes you. Happy to be here.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, Roger's a good friend. But I want to know everything you know, because you really, I talked to you before the show, and it's like, is there anything you don't know? You figured out how time works, how the generation of life works, how gravity works. I mean, it seems like you have figured that out with your interest and investigations into sacred geometry. But why don't we'll get into all that, but let's start really simply with, I would think, the most basic fundamental aspect of your work, which is the golden mean, isn't that?
That's really right and very appropriate, yes. Mm-hmm. You know, always in art and even in biology, we knew the golden mean ratio, 0.618, defined beauty, for example, and it defines the pattern, five-sided geometry of almost every living thing. And yet now we've learned something new. We've learned the electrical reason why it is necessary for life, actually.
But wait, before you go there, I know it's like I'm a kindergartner talking to a high school professor, but really, if you can describe what the golden mean is and how we get that ratio.
Yeah, that's right. Well, the number is 0.618, 1 and 1.618 and 2.618. You have a sequence of numbers which represents what's called the divine proportion or sacred cut. And what's unique, of course, is that you can add any two numbers in the sequence and produce the next one. It's called an arithmetic progression. Or you can multiply any number in the infinite series by 1.618 to get the next number. For example, 1.618 squared is 2.618. So that is a progression of numbers which both adds and multiplies.
But how did they get that first ratio? How did they get the 0.68 or 1.68?
Well, you know, somebody once asked me who invented the golden mean. I said the same lady who invented pi. But actually what happens is we observe it in nature all around us, so we measured it. Mm-hmm. You can measure it as simply by putting a pentagram inside a pentagram. But what's more important is to understand what that's doing for waves. That's the real point here.
Wait, before we get to waves, that measurement, that phi ratio, that golden mean, somehow generates life. It's the way it seems to me, from what I've read, that the universe itself uses that particular measurement for generation. Does that make sense?
Exactly. Yes. In fact, we're going much further than that. I am saying, I've been teaching physicists for years, that the golden mean ratio is the cause of gravity, of life, of perception, of bliss, and actually the physics of the origin of color and black holes and everything that is centripetal and self-organizing. So it could not be more important.
Right. So so the measurement, let's say another way of measuring it is if you stick your arm out, like in the Leonardo da Vinci painting,
yes,
drawing,
yes,
and that would be the ratio of the elbow to the tip of the finger to the whole arm or something like that.
Yeah, elbow to wrist to the base of your knuckle, etc. That's a golden ratio cascade. And that's a good example because the reason your bones are doing that has to do with the electricity of waves, actually. It's producing what's called perfected compression, or literally the perfect form of fractality. And what I wanted to try to explain very gently was why it is so important to understand this in terms of waves. You know, the difference between numerology and physics is when you predict something a wave is going to do. Mm. And we did a study that showed that if you program software and interfere a large number of waves of different frequencies, The most destructive interference possible is powers of two, called the octave, whereas the most constructive wave interference that's ever been measured in computer modeling is the golden mean ratio. So in effect, we can prove now newly that this golden mean ratio is the most constructive form of wave interference in general. Wait. And I say specifically, that is why Einstein never figured out why an object falls to the ground, because he didn't know that.
Wait, so when you say most constructive, it is the most beneficial for organisms, for who? How is it constructive?
Yeah, well, I mean, in this sense, I'm saying this specifically in kind of an electrical engineering sense, which is my field, of course, that specifically, if you interfere waves in what's called a nonlinear medium or simply a focus point, the most constructive way they can meet, which is to say the most power that remains after they interfere, is golden mean ratio, whereas the most destructive way for waves to meet is powers of two. That's why a right angle, a square, in feng shui is evil, because it produces destructive wave interference and therefore destructive charge interference. So when I say constructive, I mean it leaves the most inertia remaining. It's the most harmonious, literally.
So is this golden mean ratio, it's an emergent property of the universe, and therefore life itself must be a basic fundamental aspect of creation?
Yes, you know, I had announced that golden mean ratio is the cause of gravity at the first fundamental physics conference in Budapest with Nassim and Elizabeth Rauscher. And then Nassim helped me prove it when he showed that golden mean is the mechanism of black hole creation. And now I've explained why newly, which is that being the solution to constructive interference, it is therefore the solution to compression.
Now, what do you mean by compression? Wait, don't lose us yet. Please, just started the show. Okay, so golden mean ratio. Okay, wait, say that again, please.
In other words, because golden mean is the solution in general to all constructive wave interference, it is therefore the solution to compression. If we can prove that, we have the answer to every single mystery of physics and spirituality, if we know the solution to compression.
What do you mean by compression? What does that mean, actually?
Well, you know, Einstein died saying that if he knew infinite constructive compression, he would have solved the unified field. But sadly, no one told him what a fractal was. Mm-hmm. And physics is clear that fractality is the only infinite form of compression mathematically. But they've never known what a fractal electric field is. And that's what I just proved with my new equation for hydrogen.
But do you mean by compression information that's been economized into a central mathematical equation or something? Is that what you mean by?
Well, you know, in this case, we're saying that everything in the universe is a wave of the same substance. Call it ether, charge, chi, or baraka, or the quantum foam, whatever you call it. I call it charge. Right. But the way that you could compress charge infinitely is specifically Einstein's description of the solution to the unified field. And if you know what golden ratio enables charge to do, it creates a black hole or perfect compression because it allows the waves to add and multiply constructively.
If we go through that black hole, isn't there something on the other side? Is that another dimension, another universe that is the other side of compression? Because where you have compression, you must have the opposite of compression, right?
Actually, what we say is you must have fractality and perfect compression before you get any form of radiance or perfected distribution. But to visualize a black hole, which is useful, I suggest you visualize the top-down view of DNA or hydrogen, or any living protein. It's the same view. It's a stellated pentagram. It's, you know, a pent within a pent. It's 10 spirals of the golden mean. The top-down view of DNA, black holes, hydrogen, and every living protein is the same shape. We can prove it. And so what's happening in that geometry, for example, in hydrogen, is the waves add and multiply recursively, constructively, and that's infinite compression. But in addition to adding and multiplying the wavelength, they add and multiply constructively their wave velocities. And that is the reason that gravity exists. It's because when the waves of charge add and multiply their phase velocity constructively, then compression becomes acceleration. So since we now have proven that is the structure of hydrogen, Planck length times golden ratio equals hydrogen radii, we now can prove that fractality, that golden ratio is the only reason any atom has gravity, because the inside is fractal or self-similar to the outside, mm-hmm. implosive collapse.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I followed part of that, but the question that comes up is, if you understand what gravity or how it's generated, can't
yes.
you create
yes.
An anti-gravity
yes. Oh, absolutely. Sure you can.
Wave. Yes.
Oh, of course you can. And if you make a capacitor with the right curvature, it floats. Townsend Brown is being done by hundreds of scientists now, Dan, in France. Very famous. But we're there to first explain why you can make gravity with capacitors. Because what happens is, as the wave front of the charge or quantum foam wave is experiencing acceleration of charge from compression of charge, by the way, acceleration of charge is the definition of gravity, then the phase velocity, the wave front, is accelerated out the center through the speed of light by multiples of golden mean ratio times the speed of light. And that's how gravity produces the compression, the wormhole of charge that goes from the center of the Earth to the center of the Sun, for example. And that helps us to explain what happens when the moon gets in the way. All the physics of gravity is about how this charge is traveling through the speed of light, through these wormholes, by multiples of golden ratio, actually.
So are people reconstructing this? Are they making? I mean, this is what Nassim Harmin wants to do. He wants to create mini black holes to.
Oh, yes. Yes, of course. In fact, it's so simple. Podkletnov walked over an old insect hive and noticed that he started to float. He studied, and the skeleton of the insect was a capacitor that made gravity, the same as Townsend Brown and now Dan and Paul LaViolette are talking about. But now we understand how. That actually, if you make something which is electrically more fractal than the Earth underneath you, you float, just like meditators float better under gold domes.
The gold so why domes don't are, we have anti-gravity machines everywhere?
There's hundreds of examples, but no one actually knew the physics to explain how it works.
But you and once, know the physics, so why can't we just build one? Or
well,
what do we need to do?
We do know the physics, and we are building one. But and my view is that there are some important things to do first, which is, of course, education. Mm-hmm. But and we've applied my equation. For example, now we know how to burn water, and it's called a cool fuel. It's the ultimate solution: hydrolysis and desalinization and superconductivity. All of these things immediately emerge if you know this geometry of fractality optimized by golden mean ratio. Let me just mention a couple of real simple examples to try
yeah,
to sort of make
please.
This real.
Yeah.
We know, for example, that in economics, if you eliminate storage, you create abundance. That's why fractal economics and fractal money will be the solution to all abundance. Well, naming that geometry is how charge distribution becomes perfect, called life or the divine or mind. Mm-hmm. If you take this frequency ratio and you create this perfect heterodyne, not only do you cause hydrogen to jump out of water and cause superconductivity, but you cause the perfected distribution of charge, which follows from perfected compression of charge, fractality. So when you produce implosion, then you produce distribution. Maybe, how about a way to visualize that?
Okay, there's
a
famous, that's good, yes.
Yeah, there's a famous device in Ireland called the Steorn device, where they make voltage power from gravity. They call it free energy, but it's a wrong word. It actually comes from the plenum, the quantum foam. If you look at the voltage trace on an oscilloscope, it looks like a caduceus. A caduceus, you know, is that shape of a wave from Hermes, symbol of medicine.
Right. The DNA is shaped like that too, isn't it?
Yes. The caduceus is a symbol of Hermes, DNA, medicine, and healing. Mm-hmm. Well, in physics, the caduceus is called perfect damping optimized by golden ratio, which turns out to be the name for what's called phase conjugation. And so if you look at this Steorn device voltage output, this damping, this caduceus, you see that the reason you're getting power from gravity is because of implosive collapse or fusion down that trajectory, which in electrical theory is called slew rate. So anything that produces implosive collapse is going to produce fusion. Let me give you another example. Mm-hmm. Supposing you wanted to save the billions of dollars that's been wasted at CERN in Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
You just show them how the plasma needs to approach using the faces of the dodeca to produce this golden ratio geometry, and it produces implosive fusion, and you actually learn the definition of cold fusion. You know, cold fusion started with palladium because it's dodecahedral, and it actually gets cold in your hand, as my partner Valerie once showed Jean-Paul in Paris, the guy who leads the fusion conferences there. But the reason fusion works is because the plasma approaches in golden ratio. That defines fusion because it's implosive collapse.
Well, let's get even more real. How can we then apply that? I mean, I know you're working with physics. You're doing some amazing things. But I think there's ways to apply this personally in our own lives. And could you talk about that? Because
very appropriate. Well, you know how we got started on this? Because we found that with our partner, Professor Karatkov in St. Petersburg, who invented the GDV, he helped us realize that when you measure this golden mean ratio in brain waves, it was a way to measure peak perception, bliss, and enlightenment. And that became my bliss tuner invention, and we teach people we can measure when you have peak experience, enlightenment. So golden mean ratio is a way to measure when your body starts to implode, and you call that peak perception. In fact, now we know that golden ratio phase conjugation is the cause of perception.
Wait. Let me, because I'm writing about perception. Let me just take in that statement. So you're saying the golden mean ratio of the brain waves is what causes perception?
Yes. Yes. There's another neuroscientist named Steve Lehar who came up with phase conjugation as a model of perception. But now I know why. Because in optics, we discovered that phase conjugation was the first time we measured self-organization and time reversal. But now we know how to make that field an electric field called phase conjugate dielectrics. It's the reason why the seeds at Stonehenge grow faster. So when you phase conjugate magnetic, optical, or dielectric lines, they implode and fuse and create self-organization. And that sorting of waves into phase is called perception. To visualize it, imagine when two pine cones learn to kiss noses.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so at that fusion point at the center, the waves cross in such a way, it's when the wave geometry actually turns into plasma. It's called a block wall, and it all behaves like a fluid at that point. And at that point, the waves are sorted into phase. For example, that's the reason that color and rainbows exist. We can prove it.
Because why, you're saying? Because...
Well, the photon is only a donut, and the cone of your eye where you perceive it is just a device to measure the tilt of the photon donut. If you take the visible spectrum, exactly one octave, and the precise wavelengths for the primary colors, and convert that to the 0 to 180 degree tilt of the photon called color, the angles you come out with are all a cube except two, 63 and 117 degrees, which turn out, that's blue and yellow, turns out to be the face angles of the dodeca called fusion. So photons arrange themselves to the face of the dodeca called golden ratio. And that's the reason rainbows happen. It's the reason color exists, because the plasma of the photon is sorted at the foci, the focal point, enabled by golden ratio stellated dodeca. It's called phase conjugation. It's so profound that it's the solution to virtually every problem of modern physics and spirituality. We call it fractalfield.com.
Well, how do you get into spirituality with that?
Well, that's the right question. In practical terms, it means it's our bumper sticker, which says get fractal or get dead. It means that you need a magnetic map of your bed and your heart and your house and your city. And if they look like a rose, then you have a chance at becoming sustainable, called immortality. If they don't look like a rose, the charge distribution is not happening, and it's called death, actually.
So how do we make it look like a rose, then?
That's the right question. I mean, it does require a bit of dowsing 101 or a magnetic map. You know, the song line, Dreaming Tracks, the Aboriginals are measurable as magnetic lines. They're rivers of magnetism. So a little bit of dowsing, geobiology, that sort of thing, and you make a magnetic map. And, you know, Bohemia, Prague, literally is a rose magnetically. That's the original plan for the city. And when you go there, you lucid dream. And the physics of why you lucid dream is because charge distribution efficiency equals life. So this is the physics of feng shui, which I've been teaching for years with the help of Roger Green, actually, is that fractality is actually the geometry of perfect distribution, and therefore life itself.
But right now, I mean, this is what a lot of people are saying. It seems like the maybe the vibrational waves of the universe, or something seems to be shifting. I mean, I know people talk about 2012, but it's not, you can call it whatever you want. We are going through a phase change. Can you talk about what that means in terms of your work and if that's even true?
Yes, of course. Yeah. Yeah, that's very appropriate. Yes, I agree with Paul LaViolette, galactic superwave in one sense, that solar system alignment with galactic equator, which is a long process, maximize interstellar dust in the solar system, mostly silicon, by the way, which increased intrasolar system heating. So the sun needs to have an orgasm, which is very healthy. The rapture, the orgasm of the sun, the solar max, which is happening now, is a compression event. What physics has not known, and this is tragic, is that only fractality survives compression. It's what the Christians mean when they say, you know, during the rapture, guns will melt. What they mean is during the plasma compression of the solar maxima, every structure, which is not fractal, which is to say a phase conjugating dielectric, will experience heat. Another way of saying that is, if you measure, tornadoes go out of their way to destroy metal buildings. And well, they should, because that defines pain. Because pain is wherever charge cannot be distributed in a fractal. Whereas a tornado will measurably avoid destroying an ancient stone church, because that plasma distribution there feels like part of its body. Mm. And that's the physics of how you prepare for a solar maximum event.
Even some of those old temples in Japan were left standing when everything else was destroyed by the tsunami.
Yeah, there are hundreds of examples. The physics is, you know, the center of a tornado is visibly a pentagram for a reason, because that's how it becomes centripetal and therefore self-aware and able to steer. Because at the center of the pentagram in the tornado, like Katrina had a pentagram at the center, is the same electric field at the center of all DNA, where charge distribution makes what's called mitogenic radiation, which is the physics of the electric field, phase conjugate dielectric, called the collective unconscious or ancestral memory or the communion of saints. And so that electric field is perfectly distributed. It's a well of survival memory. And to participate in that is a symmetry discipline. It's what's called avoiding sin. It's actually embed or die. That distribution of that field is essential to become part of what's called awareness or divine mind. It's the physics of how you measure the sacred action.
Is that why the pentagram's been identified with the divine feminine? And they also, I was in a pentagram crop circle last summer and had an amazing healing in that as well. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful, yes. It's, the physics is because the stellation of the pent, which is a pentodeca in 3D, the only 3D fractal, is called the grail, as the grail is in the blood. The pent stellation creates golden ratio, and that creates centripetal force, and that's the only way anything in the universe emerges from chaos. For example, Planck time times golden ratio in my new equation predicts the physics of coincidence, which is only fractality allows time to emerge from chaos. So Planck time times golden ratio gives you the frequencies not only of hydrogen, but the solar year and the earth year. It's the physics proof that fractality in time is the way charge distribution happens in time, called coincidence or synchronicity.
Are you saying that the physics that's here on Earth is the physics throughout the universe? And if you are saying that, does that mean all life forms will then have similar structures as humans?
It's my belief that, you know, DNA is a stellated golden ratio dodeca. Everything about DNA is golden ratio. And it's used intergalactically for that reason, because it produces a centripetal force necessary for stars to grow up. So the sun needs something that DNA makes by its golden ratio structure, a centripetal plasma force. For example, solar flares decrease dramatically when a million children sing the same song. It's been measured 12 times. So DNA...
Wait, let me just take that in. You're saying when children are singing the same, like how many, and the solar flare will decrease, there's a relationship there?
Yes. A recent film is about that, fractalfield.com/starseed. You can see the film and the data. But basically, when, you know, this was actually on the Global Healing Days, on I think 12 or 13 different global earth healing days, they measured the average reduction in solar flares on that particular day, and it was very, very dramatic. So we say it this way, when a million children sing the same song, the sun goes, ah, And the reason is the same reason that Bill Tiller measured focused human attention compresses electric fields, and Uri Geller measured that focused human attention reduces radioactivity, because we make a centripetal force.
With our mind, we're putting out waves of intention that are actually golden mean waves.
Yes, and centripetal. You know, Aboriginals said the dream spell holds the song line together. The physics, as Bill Tiller measured, is focused attention compresses electric fields because it's implosive centripetal. It's called a phase conjugate dielectric. It's the physics of why you get a tingle in your baby finger when you put your attention there, because you've caused the electric fields there to compress, and that will attract charge and blood. So the more your attention gains quality, the more its electric field is centripetal, the opposite of centrifugal.
Mm-hmm. So going back to this, maybe it's a phase change, but as we move in alignment with the galactic center or to the neck, to above the equator, how does that affect the fields, the waves, and consciousness itself?
Well, the solar magnetic collapse reversal, of course, has kind of already happened. The Earth's magnetic collapse is following behind. As the Earth magnetic field weakens and collapses, it releases the hold on the iron in the tectonics. So the tectonics are like dumplings floating on gravy. And our sources tell us, for example, the Australian plate we're on right now will reach 20 kilometers an hour, smashing into New Zealand. So this is a massive compression wave that's going to be accompanied by high waves, high water, high wind, and lots of messes. It is about compression. And we need to learn to invite that solar wind by being fractal. The way the Mayans put it was useful, unless the dream spell of the old ones is alive and awake in symmetry space, we will be blown away in the magnetic wind of the sun. What they meant by that was, if we make the centripetal force, we can hold our atmosphere and our plasma bubble together.
How do we make it? By singing songs? No, that's not it. But how would we make the that open to all everyone that is interested in doing that? I mean,
effectively, we're saying that the production of centripetal force is the only solution. For example, it's how you steer your plasma into the sun after you die. If you've learned how to lucid dream, you've become centripetal. So collectively, if groups learn to lucid dream together, we know that you can steer tornadoes that way. It's been measured. But you can also steer the solar wind that way. On a larger scale, it means that when you plan a city and plan a road, you actually make a magnetic map first, and you discover where the magnetic blood of the Earth is fractal, and you improve the fractality. Specifically, Callahan proved that Ireland, Yugoslavia, Israel, the war happened after the magnetic lines broke. When you fix them, Village A and Village B can share emotion because there's touch-permissive paths for plasma living energy between cities. So on a global scale, we know the Earth grid is dodeca, Becker and Hagen's anti-gravity in the world grid. If you improve the fractality of that dodeca, you improve the ability of our Earth to be centripetal, stabilizing gravity and atmosphere.
I think that's what Slim Sperling was doing with his devices, his qubit devices, as he planted them in the ground to get rid of the negative charge in certain areas. But do you know his work, Slim Sperling?
Yes, sure. I live next to Slim. Even when Bob Dratch was trying to teach him how to do it, right. Bob was a good friend too, still is. Slim was basically a cowboy. He's a sweet guy.
I know.
But he didn't understand the physics. Bob showed him a coating, which is bioactive, called a phase conjugate dielectric. And that coating and the shape can accelerate metabolism. But Slim didn't understand a lot of things. For one thing, that sometimes accelerating metabolism is not helpful. And for another, there's a whole aspect of this called astral hygiene. So there's a lot more to this.
Well, getting back to the conjugate, how do we do that to our own field, conjugate our own field to get more stable and empowered and, you know, grounded in a way?
Yeah, that's the right question. You know, in the heart rate variability, HRV, the low frequencies of your heart, which is basically the frequencies of your breathing, when that becomes harmonic inclusive, called fractal, that's how medical doctors know that you have an immune system. It's statistics. It's pure physics. The more harmonics in your heart, the more you have an immune system. It's called fractality. So if you apply that to everything in your environment, harmonic inclusiveness, it means the more you can become a fractal attractor, literally attract charge. In practical terms, it means the purpose of life is to have and grow a large aura. And the more bliss you can hold, the more plasma you can hold, the bigger your aura is, and the more your DNA braids recursively coherently, and the more you actually become centripetal electrically, which is the definition of all health, actually.
So it's when we consciously bring in bliss, is this what you're saying to do?
Yes, yes. We teach our children the physics and the science of how to have a bliss experience. The ability to do that defines whether you have culture. That if you know how to teach your kids to have a bliss experience, you have a culture. Otherwise, you don't. That's the subject of our book called Implosion, Secret Science of Ecstasy and Immortality. The complete PDF is at goldenmean.info/consciouskids. It's very simple. The kids are willing to risk their lives in order to get bliss, sex, drugs, rock and roll, etc. The physics is we should congratulate them for their bravery to be willing to risk their lives to get bliss, the rave concert, and then we should show them the science of how to have a bliss experience, you know, which is simply hygiene. The hygiene of how to attract charge is what was called the quality of grace or chi in church. And it's pure physics, it's beautiful, and it's self-empowering.
How do we do it? How do we attract, what's the specifics, if you can briefly?
You know, if you're walking past a sacred space or a mountain, and you see a lot of charge there, and if you wiggle your finger and say, come to me, the sword from the stone, if the plasma or living charge of that mountain or sacred space perceives inside you a way for that charge to become distributed, then the charge comes to you. It's called pure intention. It's actually get fractal. So it's not selfish to get a big aura, because when you think an unselfish thought, you attract charge. In practical terms, it means you need to eat a live food diet mostly. You need to stop eating angry DNA called monoculture. You need to do the yoga to build the inner muscles to hold charge. And you need to live in a charge-dense environment. It's critical, which generally means moving out of metal cities and electrosmog to places where the Schumann resonance and nature and charge is there so your aura can grow.
And when we grow our aura, we can stabilize more joy in our field.
The medical way that's measured, 10,000 doctors and hundreds of hospitals, is called GDV. It's the physics of astral hygiene. You can tell your teenagers to check whether their recreational drugs are putting holes in their aura by medical measurement. GDV, I recommend it. So once you know that aura, the plasma around your body, is something real, then you begin to understand that the coherence of that aura predicts whether you can lucid dream, and therefore whether you will die well.
Uh-huh. Well, talk about the plasma then, because that's another key component. What do you mean by the plasma? Is this the ether fields that exist everywhere? What is that?
In physics, plasma comprises 99.99% of the universe. Plasma can be described as a cloud of charge, or quantum foam, however you want to put it. Mm-hmm. And the important point here is to realize the physics of what makes that centripetal, which is to say holds it together, which is a sequence of symmetry operations called angles. Let me give you an example. The angles that hold plasma together is called the Ophanum Enochian alphabet, which became Golden Dawn and Greek and Cherokee, Adawi, Valnapa. And this is called plasma residues. For example, the angle of a donut casting shadows with the golden spiral on it in a tetra is called Hebrew and Sanskrit. Mm-hmm. These angles at which plasma converge, when they become centripetal, initiate compression. That's called creation. So when you do it in your mind, the hologram in your head, visualize the language of light, ancient sacred alphabets, you actually initiate the hologram to initiate these seeds of compression. I give you a fun example. Our friend John McGovern in Australia, he discovered he could read every single rock petroglyph carved by any shaman on planet Earth after he realized that the shaman is only seeing the residue of a little bit of plasma or charge, For example, he can read a lightning bolt and see the sequence of angles and read it like a book. Mm. So, and now the only
thing. What's he reading in a lightning bolt? What does it say, the message of the lightning bolt?
He's reading the angles at which the plasma or charge are tilting, called plasma residue. That's the origin of the rune and druid. And the only people now who publish John's work is Los Alamos Plasma Research Lab.
Hmm. All right. So what do we. So, but what can we do with this? I mean, what do. So how do we access it?
I mean, this is the physics of ritual, actually. I mean, a way to put this is, many physicists now agree that what we used to call angels is actually interstellar plasma clouds. And to call them, you need to make a centripetal force. And we know that the index of the angles that held them together, called Ophanum Enochian, John Dee's work, alchemy, all that, became Golden Dawn, high order magic. This is the sequence by which you do these Enochian calls, and you call very large plasma storms. It's how John Dee and Kelly took out the Spanish Armada. They called a storm that had a particular geometry. It's well studied, goldenmean.info/angel science. So, and this is Vincent Bridges' work as well. Thank you, Valeria. VincentBridges.com.
Right.
So the point is, the elementals assume that we are drunk because we're not calling the elemental forces using what has been intended, which is our ability to sequence these plasma fields by, as it were, dreaming in the language of light or doing these great rituals. Now, I'm not saying everybody needs to go out and learn a Golden Dawn angel call Enochian ritual, but I'm saying everybody needs to be aware that there's a simple process by which you steer a tornado by embedding in it. And it's not complicated. It's actually simple. If you watch a shaman steering a tornado, first you see the bioplasmic streamers from his belly embed like a pine cone into the tornado. Then his plasma body becomes the centripetal center of gravity of that tornado. And physics is only tornadoes, string theory, wormhole, twisters, you know, vortex. Mm. So once you can steer one tornado, you can steer them all. The psychology of what you describe when a shaman is steering a tornado is the shaman says, I'm feeling the pain, the anger of the tornado. And then the tornado realizes that the shaman feels its pain better than the tornado feels its own pain. The physics of compassion is perfect embedding. And what's called pain is where the fractal is bleeding charge. So the shaman embeds himself in the tornado and becomes the centripetal center of it, like the sorcerer's apprentice.
Well, as you're talking, it also reminds me of the hunter-gatherer societies and those paintings on the walls of caves where they would do the same thing in capturing wild animals, is the shaman would emanate those plasma fields probably to pull the desired hunt into their locale.
That's beautiful. And the teacher we worked with on that, Steve Tribeck, he co-produced Whale Dreamers with Kim Kindersley, funded by John Lennon's son, goldenmean.info/whaledreamers. And what Steve taught us was the night before, he would literally have a lucid dream. He would meet the fish in his dream. And the next day, spearfishing, he'd recognize that fish. And there was an agreement by which the plasma memory of that fish was invited into fusion. Mm. And that's the physics of Tantra. You know, the fusion of living plasma is what Shakespeare called the psychology of alchemy. You know, Shakespearean theater was in an octahedron because it's the shadow of John Dee's hypercube. Mm. Shakespeare's name, when he learned from John Dee, was called Francis Garland. Vincent Bridges proved this historically. So Shakespeare is learning how to make gold, literally plasma fusion with alchemy. John Dee was the Einstein of his day, taught the hypercube shadow called the octahedron of Shakespearean theater. Then you raise and lower the screen with the correct sequence of emotions, and you experience plasma fusion, group mind oneness experience, the psychology of alchemy.
And you also initiate the audience into higher levels of consciousness by watching those productions.
Beautiful. Exactly. And you see the word chem there, as in chemistry and alchemy, actually you know, when Zechariah Sitchin studied the word chem, which in the Bible just meant the altar in the church, chem, which became the word shem'an, by the way, the shem, became the English word scheme, a matrix. Zechariah Sitchin translated it to mean highward firestone. We now know what it means, actually. It means a phase conjugate dielectric or fractal capacitor.
I thought it meant black earth, like chem was the name for Egypt in ancient times.
Well, exactly. But you see, it goes deeper than that. Egypt was called chem because, you know, Thoth, Hermes, Enki's, Thothmosis bloodline was blue-black, the place of the blackness. But to enter the place of the blackness literally means to enter the place of the black hole, Akka Nassim here. So the ability to make a black hole is literally what's meant by the word chem, as in chemistry and alchemy. So, which is to say, to make fusion possible. The symmetry of plasma fusion is precisely what's described by the fractal field, the possibility of infinite compression.
So I mean, this has been a great overview in a way. I mean, I know there's a lot more, but are you then working hands-on, creating devices and leading people to places where they can realize these parts of themselves and also change technology?
Well, you know, we've been teaching with the help of Roger. Many friends have been teaching with my partner Valerie sacred geometry, physics of consciousness, and physics of feng shui for 15 to 20 years with great success, really. And we have 1 to 2 million hits a month on our website, goldenmean.info. However, what we realized is the best way to sell the spiritual science as a teaching is to teach the physics, the technology. So after I wrote a new equation for both the radii and frequency of hydrogen and realized this is the key to hydrolysis, burn water, and desalination, all kinds of cool stuff, we realized that implosion science as technology is the best intro to the spiritual science. For example, we now know the perfect frequency geometry to pop hydrogen out of water, burn water. And that's what we're doing with our science team in Melbourne. It's going very, very well. We've had breakthroughs. It's fabulous. But once people understand the fractal nature of hydrogen and fusion and the heart of the sun, it's a precise intro to the spiritual science of how you send your soul, your plasma there when you die. So I'm very excited to announce that our implosion technologies, theimploder.com, for example, is becoming very, very successful. Not only do we have 30 to 200% growth in plants fed imploded water, but we're soon learning that that whole science creates a natural whole series of solutions to radioactivity. So the number of technologies that are reinvented by fractal field is just blossoming every day, and it's fabulous. We're delighted, and it's cooking beautifully.
What do you need to do to implode water like that? I mean, you don't have to tell me the whole thing, but I mean, how do you actually work with that?
Well, you know, many people know Victor Schauberger's work.
Yeah, right.
And also Schwenk's work on sensitive chaos. Well, my implosion vortex nozzle is called Schauberger's Dream for a reason. I took the actual equation for the golden mean spiral down the implosion cone of the stellated dodeca 60-degree cone, which is also the physics of color. And in 3D, that made a vortex cone nozzle. You can see 3D animated at theimploder.com. And this allows water to experience hydrodynamically implosive centripetal collapse. It comes out in a fabulous little ponytail that's self-aware, and it's better than petting your puppy dog because it responds to you. You can see the imploder shower nozzle there. Then we combine that with centripetal phase conjugate magnetics, which is a whole other beautiful field. Not many physicists realize that the like poles of the magnet can attract, called phase conjugate magnetics, which is, by the way, the key to pain reduction, healing acceleration, and radioactivity reduction. It all fits together. It's so gorgeous. Anyway, you got these phase conjugate magnetic array, and the Z-pinch, the vortex point of the magnetics, is approached then by water spinning in the correct direction, and you have centripetal force in the water, Schauberger's dream. And you have dramatically reduced molecular cluster size, dramatically increased solubility. It tastes silky, and there's all kinds of health benefits, and it's a real revolution in agriculture. I'm very happy. Things are cooking beautifully. We're just coming out with a whole new line of these for commercial agriculture. You can read about it. It's all on the web.
It's incredible. I mean, I would put you in charge in building the new world and making it functional for all of us.
I mean, I wouldn't put me in charge, but I will say we have a team of scientists now, very global. You know, we've been teaching in 10 to 15 countries in a year for 10 to 15 years. So we have one of the best international network of transformational scientists on the planet. And that team is cooking. It's gorgeous. Breakthrough-technologies.com, fractalfield.com. This whole project is cooking beautifully. We have a group in Dubai that's supporting us. There's a group that's measuring the effective implosion on diesel fuel in Netherlands. We have an assembly group in South France. We have people in Canada, and things in Australia here are popping beautifully. So things are good.
Wow. No, it's very exciting. I mean, just hearing you talk and the fields of interest and science that you are really turning the Newtonian science around and showing a whole greater dimension of what's possible. We're really moving out of the old age with this kind of technology. But I'm also interested in this bridge between the spiritual aspect or the soul energy, which you're calling plasma, right? Is that what the soul is?
Yes.
In relationship to the golden mean or the phi ratio, how does the plasma fields of the soul interact with the phi ratio of the golden mean of the body?
Well, you know, our good friend, Professor Karatkov, GDV work in Russia, who helped us with golden ratio and brainwaves when I first invented my bliss tuner, he was the one who measured successful death there. He measured the aura medically as a plasma field, and then he measured where it goes and why at death. So if you build a large plasma aura, what happens at death is it goes to the place in the room where compression is perfected, you know, fractal, it's called a sacred space or the power point. And then it's projected down the magnetic lines, which are also conjugate or fractal. And the sequence of visions you see when you die, called the map to death, called the Heinrich Kluwe form constants. The website is goldenmean.info/immortality. If the sequence of visions you see when you die is actually the sequence of folding operations of your DNA, lattice, cobweb, tunnel, spiral, and then it repeats. And the reason you see that when you die is your plasma is being prepared for compression and then acceleration. It's the physics of how you become part of ancestral memory.
But then,
it's why...
Yeah,
go ahead.
No, I just want... Well, no, what were you saying? Finish that. It's why what you saying?
Well, it's the physics of why the Hopi were so upset when the U.S. government tried to put steel pipes in their sacred burial ground. Because the physics is that your ancestors' memory is literally the fractal of the landscape. And eventually, of course, when you grow up, your plasma goes through the center of the sun, as Ben Toff taught in Advanced Kundalini.
But I was going to ask, how do we reverse those fields or to develop the immortal essence within, you know, our own phi ratios?
Well, you know, the fun way we tell the story in our classes is that, you know, if your doctor says you're going to die in 2 weeks, sort your affairs. And then you go home and you tip over your filing cabinet of memories and you urgently look for something which was shareable. Pure principle. And every time you trip over a memory that contains pure principle or essence, you feel a little tingle and you attract charge.
What do you mean by, what can you give me an example of what that is?
Well, you know, what we call the eureka or peak experience, we now know as bliss. You know, your hair stands up, you have a Jimmy Willie when you think about how love affected the life of a child, or you finally figure out why golden mean ratio equals 7/5 pi over E, your hair stands up and you attract charge because you've discovered a principle which is of service to all of DNA.
Mm.
And that ability to attract that charge means you've discovered a wave that's shareable. In physics, that's called coherence, which I learned how to measure mathematically. Coherence perfected by fractality.
And that's defined, the life force. That is the immortal essence thing.
It's a perfectly distributable wave. And the fun story ends by saying that then, once you learn that, you realize that death was only invented temporarily by biology to teach us to stop trying to store what is not shareable.
Wait, I'm trying to take that in. So can you say that another way?
In other words, biology had to invent death because people try to put away memories which in fact cannot be distributed, compressed, or made shareable. For example, digestion is only implosion of charge or plasma. If you eat white flour, you get fat because the memory can't implode and be made shareable. So the same is true of pure principles. If you keep thinking about only pure principles, which is what I try to do very hard, actually, every time you think about a pure principle, you attract so much charge that you never die.
So let me see if I can get that. When you share the principles of insight and genuine excitability, like art or music or creation, then you're building charge.
In other words, the electric field at the center of DNA, a phase conjugate dielectric field or fractal field, the paper in physics on that, why it's bioactive and causes life, is called Alice in Barium Titanate Land. You'll have fun reading that one. But the nature of that electric field is such that it's self-organizing and infinitely distributed, God's mind, as it were. To become part of that electric field requires a symmetry discipline called golden ratio fractal implosion. So to join that electric field, you have to do certain actions, like every living molecule that wanted to join the club called life has to get fractal or get dead to become part of that charge distribution. So when you think about something that is so distributable as an electric wave, that the wave can be compressed and still shared, you attract charge.
And charge is life, and life.
The charge is your plasma, it's spirit, chi, orgon, baraka, shakti, pot. We have too many names for that physics. It's simply living biologic plasma, yes.
And the way to increase is getting fractal, and getting fractal
In practice, it means if you're in a metal building with air-conditioned air, you're not going to keep a soul, and your children will lose their souls in those kind of schools because they won't be able to attract and distribute charge. It's another simple example is if you take the poisonous fluorescent lights out of your children's classroom and install sunlight, you can measure a dramatic increase in attention span. The physics is there's a frequency recipe to attention. And it's called implosion.
Mm-hmm. Implosion is how charge is built, you're saying, in the plasma.
It's the only way the waves, which is the waves of everything called charge, can meet constructively and therefore distribute their inertia without dying. Waves are smart. They don't want to die. So they will jump on anything fractal and they will get out of everything unfractal. That's why a square metal refrigerator causes the food inside to die.
So to build our fractality or fractal nature, being creative, being...
But we need to apply that to architecture, to agriculture. You know, if you take the steel rods out of your concrete and then put charged rock powder in and then place the pine cone-like shape, you make a capacitor that causes life. And that's the only definition of architecture, actually, to tech that arch. So we apply it to architecture, agriculture, churches, schools. Everything needs to be the kind of electric capacitor which causes a seed to grow. This is why Stonehenge worked.
So the pine cone shaped is the most compressed form for holding plasma?
Yeah, I was thinking of this other fun study that Vincent Bridges is working with us. It's called the doliocephalic culture, basically the children of Hermes, the cone heads, the Tutankhamun group. They knew how to build a certain stone structure, which in Malta was called the hypogeum, or you call it a kiva. And in that stone underground temple, they made a capacitor. And the ability to do that, Hermes, Bo, Akhenaten, Arcadian bloodline, the doliocephalic cultures went from Egypt to Malta to South France, South America. That was the turning point in all civilizations because if you had that skill to make that kind of capacitor called temple, Amarna, Amenti, you know, you could make the kind of electric field, not just to save agriculture, but to do all forms of initiation, the only way to have successful birth and death, the only way to lucid dream. It's all the physics of charge compression, getting fractal.
Well, I think the Anastasis did that in Chaco Canyon with the Great Kiva as well.
Exactly. That's the point. The kiva was this underground dome. If you go to the center, you measure in a capacitor harmonic inclusiveness, the same way medical doctors know whether your heart has an immune system. Whereas if you go to the center of the steel or aluminum cup, which will always kill a germinating seed, you measure only one or two frequencies. And that isolates charge, and that's called death. So we need to learn to live and be in structures which compress charge. You know, hundreds of yogis have lived to be many hundreds of years old, and not one of them did it in a metal building.
Right, right. So we need the charge of the earth, the life force of the earth, that will build, well, we resonate with, because it is life.
Yes, yes. And we translate to that to a very rigorous science, how to participate in the perfected charge distribution that is nature. For example, the Schumann resonance is actually the base frequency of alpha brainwaves. If you make alpha brainwaves, then the lights go on in your head, and then you make golden ratio to it, and you implode, and that's called bliss. And that's how you get the ultimate aura, and it's the final form of education. You know, after you have school, then internet, then bliss. Bliss is the final form of education because it's the ultimate way to attract biologic charge, which is the final form of all living information.
Which is another level of coherence, which is
right.
Which you
right.
feel that, around great masters who emanate those fields. You're picking it up in your field, and you're charging your own plasma field with their outward intention in a way.
Yes, excellent. And, you know, if there's a scientist in the audience, you challenge them. You say, now we know the way every single point in a hologram contains information about every other point. And science calls that coherence. But what they haven't realized, that the climax best form of coherence is called fractal, because it's the definition of compression success. And physics has always known that fractals is the mathematics of perfect compression. But to visualize a fractal electric field, you need a pine cone. You need DNA. Uh-huh. And that's what makes it self-organizing. And that's the cause of life. Uh-huh. A pine cone modulates the amount of voltage it's getting from gravity by moving the seeds in and out. And that voltage that it gets from gravity is called life.
Wow. I mean, this is great. I mean, fractals, though, are a recent sort of creation, aren't they? Or did science always knew that in another form, didn't they?
Well, it's really true. You know, Einstein could not conceive of infinite compression. Mathematicians today conceive of infinite compression all the time. And perfected compression is the only history of computing. It's the only history of physics. And it's the only history of philosophy, is to discover compression.
Okay.
It's the history of information theory.
Finish that, because we're almost out of time.
Well, just perfect compression of an electric field is not hard to visualize. You extend the pent faces of dodeca, and you get those 10, 12 cones that make a dodeca called phase conjugation. And that one simple geometry, stellated dodeca, we can now prove is the only reason hydrogen exists, the only reason gravity exists, the only reason perception exists, the only reason rainbows exist, the only reason self-organization, the only reason electronegativity exists, the only reason black holes exist, and it's all golden mean ratio.
Wow. Dan, you've done an amazing body of work. You have compiled the secrets of the universe, in a way, of life and death and soul and incarnational experience. It's been very exciting. I mean, I'm absorbing it still.
It's not as if to say we've solved all these problems. We're just at the threshold of real solutions. But the core understanding of the symmetry principle behind the origin of centripetal forces absolutely has the seed of solution to every single problem of civilization.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said Einstein couldn't think of fractalization or fractal compression. Now, is there anything you feel is still missing in your body of work that you have yet to kind of put into place?
Well, you know, we've developed this frequency signature for hydrolysis. We know it's a frequency signature for implosion and brainwaves. And we're working with, electronics people here. And we've got combustion theory people. We know how to apply it to fuel efficiency. We're now assembling the team right now with my partner Valerie, involving natural solutions to radioactivity. We know that the correct geometry of water can reduce radioactivity, the correct geometry of focused attention, the correct geometry of bacteria measurably reduces radioactivity, the correct geometry of a slow flame reduces radioactivity. That's Jim Humble's work, the MMS inventor. So these solutions to radioactivity now is our excitement, because it really shows us the other side and how we actually make fusion out of what was an explosion instead of an implosion culture.
Wow, very exciting. Dan, I definitely want to continue this conversation next couple of weeks or whenever. Maybe I'll see you over in France. I'm looking forward to doing that possibly. Your website, again, is goldenmean.info?
That's right, right. And there's links to everywhere from there. That's right. And really want to thank you and your audience. You know, you represent a real global connection, and it's fun to be, you know, sort of back in the American theater there and meeting all your friends there. So let's stay in touch, and we serve each other. Be delightful to see you in Europe. You know, our Holy Grail Science tours there is cooking, and I know you're coming to Girona, so look forward to more fun.
I think, is anything coming up for you? Any more audiences, lectures that you're doing coming up?
Well, you know, we finished a Byron series. We have two lectures in Melbourne next week. People can see it all at fractalfield.com or goldenmean.info. Then we're in Dubai and Paris. Then we have two or three lectures in Rimini and in Italy in April. And then we're doing Amsterdam in June. We have Provence in May with Vincent Bridges and Roger Green. There's an event in Malta coming up. Maybe Girona. And we'll be back in Australia. So Rennes Le Chateau. It's all my partner Valerie is reminding me here. But we're having lots of fun. Well, we invite your friends anytime.
I will. I guess I can find it all at goldenmean.info. And thank you, Valerie, for all your input as well. And
she's waving too. We send warmest regards to all your friends there. We look forward to being with you.
Thank you. I really enjoyed this conversation. It's going to take me a couple of listens to digest it all, but I look forward to it.
Thank you, Alan. The top link on there on the website has the latest film, so people can enjoy it. It's all very fun.
Yeah, the films that are on the website, goldenmean.info, are very informative. And if you didn't catch everything Dan was saying, it's great to review it all on his website. So thanks again, and I'll be in touch.
Blessings, Alan. Thank you. Bye-bye.
It was really fun. This is okay. Alan Steinfeld for New Realities on BBS Radio. I want to thank Don there in the control room and all the people listening. If you want to reach me, email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. Check my website, newrealities.com. And also, this interview will be archived there as well as on BBS Radio. And listen next week, same time and same place. Thank you. This is In the Fire by Green Fire. Yeah.